good morning, everybody. Now, I told some of the gals back here I was going to get up here and push a button and just move everybody up front. But I think the button's not working. That's okay. You're a good-looking bunch this morning. You don't have to give me a tip or anything for that. But, you know, it's always nice to be in God's house. This whole deal about in the last couple years with this COVID and doing all this stuff, I think some of our people are used to being at home. I don't know about them, but I like being in God's house. Amen? I like seeing people. I like hugging people, shaking hands, all that good stuff, because I think that's the way the good Lord made us. We need each other. Oh, if you had your Bibles with you, I'd appreciate it if you'd turn with me to the book of Jonah. We're going to tell a fish story. I don't know about you, but I had a dad. When my dad was alive, my dad, I think he lived from fishing. My land, that man, he loved to fish. Loved to go out in a boat with one of his buddies and go out fishing. And, I mean, and I tell you what, my dad was a fortunate man, and he'd catch fish when nobody else could. But it seems for some reason it hadn't rubbed off on me. But today we're going to look at this. We're going to start with the first one. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port, and after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each one cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." I'll tell you a story. Now this is true. Now we've heard this story a lot, have we not? Yeah. And we know pretty much what happens. There's a big old fish that comes by, just made for Jonah. Yeah? But this is a true story here that, you know, part of things you don't normally hear. And it's entitled, "No One's Too Bad to Love." In February of 1891, the Star of the East, a whaling ship from Liverpool, England, was hunting whales in the South Atlantic near the Falkland Islands. A whale was sighted, and two boats were sent out to kill it. The first boat successfully harpooned the whale, but it swam away, dragging the boat with it. Later, the harpooner and the accompanying boat also succeeded in harpooning the whale. Both boats were towed away 3 miles by the whale before it sounded or went below the surface. It then came back up to the surface and in its death throes capsized one of the whaling boats. All but two crew members were rescued by the other boat. And a few hours later, the now dead whale was lashed to the side of the ship and the crew began the task of cutting it up, you know, doing what they were going to do with it. And when they came to the stomach of the whale, they hoisted it onto the deck and were shocked to see that there was something just barely moving inside. They quickly cut the stomach open and found one of their missing sailors, 35-year-old James Bartley, and he was still alive, but he was unconscious. He was soon revived, but for two weeks or so, he was delirious, and they said that he can live a normal life and everything, but some of the his stuff and his stomach, and that whale's stomach had discolored his skin, and it would never go back that way. But I thought it was neat that to be able to tell a story of a man that was actually swallowed by a whale, and he lived to talk about it, you know? Man, I don't know. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can go to the river, and sometimes the smell of fish, it's pretty disgusting. Yeah, sometimes it's pretty bad. Sometimes it's pretty strong. And sometimes, I don't know where it comes from, but you can just be walking along the river somewhere, and you smell fish, and you don't see a thing, but you smell fish. It's just a bad smell. But this morning, I want to share with you the rest of this story about Jonah. And to remember that God, the God that we serve, Jesus, is a God of second chances, okay? We always have a chance. As long as we're alive and we can talk to Jesus, we always have a chance. We see that God had told Jonah to preach to the city of Nineveh, but Jonah had different ideas. Now, I want you, as we're talking about this a little bit this morning, I want you to think of yourself and maybe some of the members of your family that sometimes, you know, we know what's good. We know what the good Lord wants us to do sometimes, but do we always do it? Are we always obedient? Guys, do you always do what your wife says? Don't raise your hand. But with God, a lot of things are possible. Jonah, he's aggravated, I think, about something. And when God tells him to go to Nineveh, what does he do? He goes down to the seaport and he asks for a ticket to go just the opposite way. He's aggravated. He didn't want to do this. The distance from Joppa to Nineveh was about 700 miles. And the distance from Joppa to Tarshish was like 2,200 miles. Three times the distance that God wanted him to go. And then he turns around and goes the opposite way as well. I mean, Jonah, I'm sorry, but he's all messed up. You know, right now. A man after God's heart, a man that served God, he's not doing what he's told to do. He did a complete U-turn and went a totally opposite direction of God's will. Because the Lord asked him to do something that he didn't want to do, and he didn't understand, he deliberately disobeyed. When Jonah fled to Tarshish, he went three times, like I said, as far as he should have been, and off in the opposite direction. Well, it's the same almost as the story of the prodigal son. What does he do? We read that the prodigal son fled to a far country. He went far away, was doing anything and everything that he wanted to do, and he really wasn't doing anything God wanted him to do. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you always obey what the good Lord wants you to do? There have been times in my life, and, you know, in our churches, we're all the time taught that we need to be praying for people to come to church. We need to be praying for the people down the road, the people in our neighborhoods that don't know the Lord yet. Okay? Well, one year, this has been several years ago, you know, there was a guy that I used to work with up at the power plant. I used to work up at Pleasant Fire. And I worked with some pretty ornery guys. And this one particular guy and his wife started attending church at Williamstown First Baptist. I noticed you guys have a couple of guys coming here to speak from there. Be careful of those guys. But this guy and his wife started attending church. And to be honest with you, I didn't know how I felt about that. This guy that had worked with me at the plant, he wasn't one of my favorite people. You know? He was a good guy, but he was a sinner. He was lost. Now, I should have been happy that guy was there, but I wasn't. felt like old Jonah did. Yeah? Jonah was told to go and preach to the Ninevites. He didn't want to. And if you've read this story before, you find out that the reason that Jonah was not happy, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, he didn't want to bring the good word of God to them, because in the past, some of the Ninevites had done something bad to members of his family. He was aggravated with them. But you know what? That doesn't matter to God. What we think a lot of times and our attitude, it's not always right. God will still talk to us even when we are, like Jonah, disobedient. The gentleman and his wife that I was talking about, they came to church and eventually they accepted Christ. They became members of the church. And you know what? Scott Moorhead's way just went right out the window. And the Lord kind of knocked on my heart's door and he said, Scott, you're not right. You're not thinking right. These people deserve salvation. They need the love of God just as well as anybody else. But I was made a perfect. Yeah. Sometimes you got to be careful what you ask God for. You know? We were at church, we were praying that this particular family would come to church, as well as some other people in the Williamstown area. We wanted people to come into God's house. But sometimes, I think it is because, you know, we as people, we're kind of judgmental. We as Baptists, we can do that. We're judgmental. You know? Should we be that way? Probably not. We need to ask God every day to help us to have a better attitude toward the people in our communities. You know? Old George down there, you know, we can invite him to church, but my gosh, that old guy growls at everything he says. You know? How about Mary over there? Well, she's just as bad as him. She just talks about so-and-so. See how we are? We do these things. We need to, and I was telling someone here a while back, it's probably a good thing in our houses. You know what we need? We need great big full-length mirrors. Not because we look good, and we got to check ourselves out, you know, nothing like that. But we need to check ourselves out daily in how we are behaving. Amen? Are we in line with what the Lord wants us to do? Are we being the disciple that Jesus has called us to be? I think we need to answer that every day. Check ourselves out. Old Jonah, running away from God. Didn't make any sense. Psalm 139 says this, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the gravel, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." We might choose to be able to run away from the Lord, but even if we do, he still has a way of finding us. I'm glad he does. God loves us, doesn't he? He loves all of us. I don't care where you were born. I don't care where you live. I don't care where you work or any of these things like that. They don't matter because God loves us all. In verse 3, we read that Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down to the ship. And we're going to notice here later in the story that he also went down into the sea. But when we run from the Lord, we wind up going down, still farther down, until sometimes the Lord will allow us to hit rock bottom. Sometimes I think things like that have to happen so that God will get our attention. I tell you what, I've been a minister for several years, and I have figured out that there's some hard-headed Baptists out there. Didn't hear an amen on that one, though, did I? When we do our own thing and try to lead our own way, live our own lives, our way leads to death and destruction. Proverbs 14. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends up, the end is the way of death. We're talking about spiritual death in this. Acting apart from the will of God is what we still call it, sin. Okay? You can color code it with, call it a lot of other different things, but it boils down to, it is still sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's good stuff. But we have to understand what this is talking about. The wages of sin. Or as Christians, can we still sin? I bet we can. Because you know what? We still live in this flesh. This old flesh will deceive you. You know, I'm finding out, too, that this old flesh, it's not friendly. As time goes on, it's getting way out of shape. I'd like to get a new one, but I don't know where to find one. You know? Jonah was given a second chance. You know, he gets on this boat. Things start getting crazy. The storm comes, and the boats are rocking. And the captain comes down and says, hey, you need to get up. You need to call on your God to see if he can help us get out of this mess. I can't imagine how, if the boat was a rocking and a rolling, I don't see how this guy was sleeping. He must have been a heck of a sleeper. And then the sailors, what do they do? In verse 7, it says, then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, and he said, tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? They asked him a lot of questions, weren't they? So he answered, he said, I'm Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And this terrified him. What have you done? And they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? I'm surprised he says this right off. But he says, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And instead, the men did their best to try to row back. God wasn't going to let that happen. He wanted Jonah to do his job. So, I mean, you can only imagine, I bet it was tough for these guys to be able to say, okay, we've got to throw this guy in the water. You know? He's bad fish, man. We've got to throw him back overboard. So they throw him overboard. Water calms down, the guys take off, and there's Jonah. And what does God do? God is always prepared. He's always prepared to take care of me and you. Amen? He's always got a plan. He's always about 10 steps ahead of us. But the Lord provided a great fish, verse 17, to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I can't imagine what it would be like. Maybe it was a special fish. Maybe it was a fish that, maybe the insides looked like this. Maybe Jonah was just laying in there on a Tempur-Pedic mattress, you know, and maybe he tilted back up a little bit. Maybe he had something nice to drink. But I don't think so. You know, sometimes it is a good thing that the Lord will allow us to get in situations to where we are not very comfortable. Matter of fact, sometimes I think the good Lord just has to pretty well knock us down a few steps. You know? we get the big feeling, we get to feel like we're better than others, or we just want, we think we know everything. God sometimes needs to knock us down. And I think that's exactly what happened in this situation. So here Jonah is inside this fish. Can you imagine being inside something like that, stinky like that? I mean, if you read all this through here, it talks about how he's laying, he's got seaweed in there with him, and all this other stuff. I mean, I imagine probably didn't smell very good. Probably all kinds of things in there. Maybe been other fish, other dead things. But he was in there for 3 days, 3 nights. And while he's in there, he starts praying to God. He starts asking God to forgive him, you know. He says in verse 6, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me bared me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. And my prayer rose to you through the holy temple. So he's in there and he's talking. He's praying to God. When nothing else fails, when we are down and out, when things are not going our way, what do we need to do first? We need to be praying to God. You know, a lot of times, what we do is we'll say, oh, well, I'm going to go talk to my neighbor. I'm going to call so-and-so up. I'm going to tell him about my problem. And that's okay. I think that's great. Ask him to pray about your situation. But I think we need to go to God first. He's the one that's created all things. He's the one that has all the answers, is he not? And we need to go to him. And I think we probably need to go to him more often, probably, than what we do. This great fish swallowing Jonah was not God's punishment. Okay? Sometimes I think we look at it that way. It was actually God's provision to save Jonah from drowning. From getting eaten by sharks or whatever, you know? After Jonah's deliberate running and outright disobedience, God had compassion on him when Jonah takes the time to repent, to talk to the Lord, and say, yes, Lord, I will serve you. Please remember me, be your servant. And God does. God is a God of second chances. He's willing in this situation to let Jonah go to the destination you want him to. What happens next? In verse 10 in chapter 2, it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, this morning, before my wife and I came to church, I took a shower, cleaned up, and everything. Well, the people of Nineveh, I hope and pray that they saw him after Jonah took a shower. I can only imagine. I mean, you just think about it. It was in a fish, and then it says he was, the fish vomited Jonah back on the dry land. He wasn't a pretty picture, you know? But you know what? Here's the cool thing about God. God will take us, even when we're disobedient, even when we are stinking or whatever, but we can still be used of God to go and talk to someone about Christ. Amen? That's the main thing. We need to be obedient to God. There's a lot of times that I've been on visitation at different churches, different places, and one of the things that we always try to teach people as you go see somebody is you need, before you go to so-and-so's house, pray before you go. So that God will, you know, touch their heart, everything will be really nice and work out really well. Well, Jonah, he was raring to go, not overly willing, but he did say he would serve the Lord. And here he is, and he's got a big job ahead of him. In the word of the Lord, chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time and said, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Okay? Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, this was a big city. And I've read things where they say that if a person back then was going to be able to walk from the front of Nineveh to the back of Nineveh, it would take 3 or 4 days, depending on how good of a walker you were. But Jonah does his job. He goes and he preaches the message for the people to repent and to serve God. It takes 3 days to do that. Now, he's not really willing. He's not too happy about this. I can't imagine. I don't know when he was preaching. I don't know if he was happy. I don't know if he smiled. I don't know if he did anything like that, because he was still aggravated with these people. He goes and he preaches, and guess what happens? The people of Nineveh, they throw all their stuff down, they pray, they repent, and even their king, he even repents. He sits there in sackcloth and ash, and within a day, everybody in Nineveh has repented and is trying to serve God. Well, that just didn't go along with Jonah at all. He was hoping that God would destroy him. Now, I don't understand stuff sometimes. How can we be a person that God wants to use, and then we have a bad attitude about, well, I don't want to go and tell the people down the road about Jesus. Let somebody else do it. You know, let the preacher do that, you know. Don't let the deacons do it. Let somebody else do it. You see how we are? We kind of rationalize things. God is the one that knows what is best. Amen? He knows what's best for all of us. And sometimes I think it is good, and my wife's going to get on me when I say this too, I know, because sometimes I get lazy. Sometimes my doctor has told me in the last month or so, he said, because my legs, they hurt at nighttime. And he's told me to go walk a lot. I don't like to walk a lot. Do you guys like to walk? You know, maybe some of you do. But sometimes God is the one, and through the Holy Spirit, that helps us. He kind of gets a sharp stick and he kind of is jabbing at us sometimes. He tries to encourage you and I to get up and go do what he wants us to do. You think of the things that we try to do in God's house these days. We're serving food to those who don't have much. You know, there's one of the churches I know that's not too far from here, but on the weekends, or on Fridays, they try to hand out food for kids so they can have food on the weekends. You know, there's all kinds of things to do. There are times when you and I don't feel like getting up and going. We need to have some encouragement. You know, I'm not saying everybody here needs to buy a sharp stick and start poking anybody with it. No, that probably wouldn't work too well. But we need to be praying for each other, and we need to be encouraging each other, especially the ones in our churches that are doing a lot of the work. Tell them that they're doing a good job. Tell them that you appreciate what they're doing. I tell you what, a little bit of thankfulness, telling someone that you appreciate what they're doing, sometimes that goes a long way. It means a lot to us. Archaeologists in this whole story have found that the Ninevites worshipped the great fish god Dagon, and the people were likely impressed with Jonah having been inside this fish that spit him out. They felt that Jonah's god must have battled their fish god and made him cough up Jonah, spit him out. Therefore, they thought it was worth listening to. And the thing is, because they listened to the message that Jonah had, these people were spared. They weren't destroyed. his choice to serve God. It worked out for the people, and it worked out for Jonah. But I tell you what, sometimes I think God has to look at you and I like we look at some of our kids who are coming. I remember years ago when I was in school, and I got a report card. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I made all A's. That's not the truth. Matter of fact, there were some times when teachers would make little comments on your report card from different classes. And some of the comments I got once in a while was, room for improvement. Yeah, did you guys ever get anything like that on your report cards? You don't have to tell on yourself. But I think if we were honest with ourselves when it comes to serving God, I think there's always a little bit of room for improvement for some of us. You know? Our attitudes could be a little bit better sometimes. Because I know, we get tired. You know? I've noticed since I turned 64, I get a little bit tired. You know what I like to do on Sunday afternoons? Yeah, you guessed it. I like to take a nap. Unless the Steelers are playing. But we won't go there. So Jonah went back out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade so he might see what would become of the city. The Lord God prepared a plant and made it come over up over Jonah, and it might be shade for his head to deliver him from the misery of the heat. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But you see, he still had a bad attitude. You know what he was waiting for? He was sitting there. He was waiting there back there in his long chair, waiting. He was waiting for God to destroy the people. He thought, I don't like these people. I hope God doesn't either. I hope he just destroys them. Now, what a bad attitude. You know, he had a bad dealing with some of the people from this place, and he wasn't willing to be forgiven. Now, the sad thing about him is, you know what he did? He wanted to be forgiven, but he didn't want anybody else there to be forgiven. Now, what do you call that? That's not good. You know, his heart wasn't where it needed to be. You know, have we ever been that way? I was kind of that way in that story I was telling you about the guy that worked with me up the plant that came to church. I had a bad attitude. I had to pray about that. I'm so glad of the way the outcome was. I'm glad God was in control instead of me. That first day when I saw them there at the church, I might have kicked them out. That wouldn't be right. God has never kicked me out. We see here one of the saddest accounts in the Bible. Jonah was hoping the Lord would destroy the Ninevites, and we read here that he was displeased that God had spared them. Man. And he left Nineveh howling. God had shown Jonah mercy for his disobedience, but Jonah didn't feel like anyone else needed it, only him. Boy, I tell you, God loves us while we are still in sin. And we read in Romans 5, verse 8, that God demonstrates his love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's mercy is unlimited. We saw that his mercy is 100 million times greater than our sin. In Matthew 18, we read, but Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother that has sinned against me? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. The thing is, one of the biggest things I think the good Lord wants us to get out of this story that we're reading is that we need to forgive others. Christ forgives us, and we need to forgive others as well. One of the things that I've been trying to teach on Wednesday nights down at Torch thing. It's called the Jesus Creed. And it goes like this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love yourself? Oh, buddy, I tell you, if we could just be honest about that, sit down and talk for a good while, boy, we could hear some things. We like ourselves pretty well, you know? But we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Sometimes that's tough, you know? Are we reaching out to our neighbors? Are we helping them? God's love and forgiveness towards those who have sinned against Him is unlimited. We have neighbors all around us that are not saved. They're not going to church anywhere. What do we need to do about it? We need to be praying about it. We need to go visit. We need to call them. Whatever it takes. You see, God has saved us, and He has left us here. If being saved was the only thing that mattered, you know, we'd be saved and God would call us home. I truly believe that you and I, we are still here in this part of the country. God has placed us here for a reason. And because we know Jesus Christ, we need to be witnessing to the Ninevites in our area. We need to show the love of Christ. Now, I tell you what, one of the things we need to do is, while we are living and while we are living in front of our neighbors, doing things with them, we need to be a good example. You know, they need to be able to see Christ in the way that you and I live, the way we talk, the way we do everything. And then, hopefully, as we pray for them, they'll see Christ in us. They'll want to be a part of that. Today, I hope that we have learned a little bit, or just a reminder, about how good God's love is and how unlimited it is. But guys, we need to be forgiving because people do funny things, especially in churches. It's not always, not everything that goes on is a happy thing. I know some of the business meetings and some of the things that we do, it's hard to deal with. But God never changes. Jesus never changes. He is the Lord of the universe. He is, when the Bible says God is love, He wants us to be loving as well. When it comes to our neighbors, when it comes to other people, people that we have to deal with, we need to be willing to forgive them if they've done something against us. And we need to be able to pray for them that God will bless them. What's your attitude this morning? Do you need to have room for improvement? Is God asking you to go somewhere and talk to somebody about Christ? That's up to you. You have to allow God to work in your life. And when you do, you will receive a lot of blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we are here today on this beautiful Sunday, Father, I thank you for your word. I know we've heard this story a lot of times, but I pray that you, through your Spirit, through your Word this week, that you will encourage us to go out into our neighborhoods and our communities to talk to people about Jesus Christ, not to be afraid of talking to people, not to be aggravated with anybody in the neighborhood, but to be Christ-like in all that we say and all that we do this week. That's not always easy, but we can do all things. Christ, who gives us strength. For it's in His name that we pray and ask these things this morning. And amen.
Hey, good to be meeting you today. And before 10, the hymnal can be turned there. Thank you.
appreciate you all being here this morning, listening to God's Word. And I just pray that this week, it will just make it our big deal to follow God. It's something that I've been, God's been placing on my heart here lately is, when we go to prayer this week, you're there in your private place. When you're done praying and you say amen, just wait a little bit and listen to see what God tells you back. Sometimes we need to be better listeners. Again, I thank you for being here. I pray that God blesses you this week. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we love you very much. We thank you for your word. I thank you for each